John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. In John chapter 20, I just want to refer to these two verses. I'm not going to preach on them. But I believe we see the key to the book of John in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. I want to read it. The Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful scriptures in the Word of God. And it teaches us the theme of John. John showing the Lord Jesus Christ as being the Son of God and trying his best to get people to believe upon the Son of God. Many received him, then gave him power to become the sons of God. And so we realize that's what he's trying to do. Matter of fact, you don't have to turn back there. Stay at John chapter number 21. But I thought I could quote it, but it's just not coming to my mind. It says, "But as many as received them, have power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name." Amen. And so we realize that we need to believe upon him. And that's what he's trying to teach them in the book of John. He's teaching us about Jesus Christ. That's why he looked out and seen the Lord coming. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world." And what a blessing it is to know that we know that Lamb. Amen. As being our personal Savior. And so as we come to this book in John chapter 20, I want to read verses 19 through verses 22. The Bible says, "The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." Now you realize the cross has already taken place. Jesus has died. Resurrection has taken place. And the Bible says now, "And Jesus came," the Bible says, "and the fear of the Jews came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you." Amen. In verse number 19, we see his presence. I mean, he's already went to the cross. He's already died. He's already resurrected. And now he's presenting himself to the disciples. And they're in fear. They're trembling. They're afraid of what may happen. They've already seen what happened to Jesus. They think it may happen to them. And so they're fearful. But yet Jesus Christ appeared in the midst. And you know what he wanted to bring? He wanted to bring peace. There's just something about the presence of God. It always brings peace. Amen. Good to see some the missionary family come in with us. Brother Key, good to see y'all. They're staying in the prophet's room. They've been down at the juvenile in Rome. Then I'm preaching in the juvenile place down there. What's the name of the juvenile place? And they've been down there preaching. They was there yesterday, served all day down there yesterday, and they've had a service down there for those young people this morning. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. I'm glad we they slept in us. They said he might come in a little late, and we told him that'd be fine. So it's good. I'd like to recognize missionaries. Amen. We love missionaries. Amen. Of course, this is Missions Month. So we emphasize missions, and this is Mission Sunday. And this morning, Lord willing, I'm going to preach on missions, if the Lord will give me liberty. But it says here in verse number 20, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Amen. Not only see his presence and his peace, but we see his proof. He says, "I'm the one." Amen. I'm not just a spirit. How I am, you can touch me, you can feel me. Amen. Here I am. I still have the wounds that's in my hands. I still have the wounds in my side. I'm a living Savior. Amen. I'm a living Lord. Amen. Oh, y'all should get more excited about that than that, but that's all right. Verse number 21, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Here he says, now this is the purpose. I've come back to talk to you. I've got a reason to talking to you. It's just not a show and tell. Amen. I've got a purpose for you living here. I got a purpose for leaving you here. I got a purpose for your life. Can I say each one in this building that is saved by the marvelous grace of God, God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. God has a will for your life, if you will. God has a purpose for you staying here. Hey, if God just wanted to save us and get us to heaven, guess what? He just zapped when we got saved, he just zapped us out. Luke got saved, we just zap him out. We don't need him no more, he got saved. Zeke got saved, we just zap him out. We don't need him no more. Amen. Bo got saved, we just zap him out. We don't need him no more, too much trouble. No, no, no. Zap it. Get them out. Amen. No. God has a purpose for us down here. God has a plan for us down here. God has a will for us. God has a work for us. God has something that he wants us to do for him. Now notice what he said. He said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And then verse number 22, he gives them this power. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. I want to preach on what should motivate us to reach the lost. What should motivate you and I to reach the lost? It says in this verse, verse number 21 is my text, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I pray in the next few minutes you'll take your word, your workmen, do your will. God, I pray, Father, that you'll help us to be hearers of the word and not just hearers but doers. God, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would come upon this place and touch hearts and touch life. God, I pray you'll call people to go to the mission field. God, I pray, Father, you'll call people for salvation. God, I pray you'll call people to submit themselves to you, to do whatever you would have them to do, Father, in their life. God, I pray this morning to be a time of submission to you, a time, Father, of searching our hearts. Oh, God, will you search our hearts this morning? Oh, Father, we might see what really is within us. May we really take an examination this morning. May we really take an x-ray of our soul spiritually. And, Father, we being what you would have us to be, I pray. God, I do ask you, Father, to touch that one that's lost. I pray you to save him before it's eternally too late. I pray, God, for those, there's a host of people in here saved, God, this morning, and they need you. And God, they're not faithfully following or serving you like they should. I pray, God, you'll touch them. I pray you'll cheer us, challenge us, convict us. And God, I pray you'll comfort us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, we come to our text, and he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Amen. Well, I wonder how the Lord was sent. He said, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. Well, the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ to live for him. Amen. He sent him to live for him. Well, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we realize that Jesus Christ had to come and live a life before the mankind. He came that he might reveal what? The Father unto them. Now remember, we're looking at the book of John. He's teaching them that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Amen. Now you and I realize he's the God-man. He's 100% man, but he's 100% God. He come to live a life, a perfect life before mankind, where he could be the perfect sacrifice for mankind. He come that he might live, that he might die. Now you and I, God wants us to live for him. Bible says in Romans 12, 1, present your body, what? A living sacrifice. Hey, God's looking for some living people. We got enough dead churches. We got enough dead saints, if you will. Matter of fact, it seems like the only people that's doing anything for God is the one that's already died. Amen. That's exactly right. Boy, when we come up here to the funeral, we talk about all the things that they did. I wonder what's going to be said about us. We want to preach. We preach about what all has been done in the past. Hey, I'm not living in the past. I'm living for the present. I'm living for the day. What are we going to do for the Lord today? Amen. Amen. See, what the problem is we still got this mentality. Now, I preach against this mentality. When Brother Trevor walks up, he says, Mr. McCulley. And I say, no, I don't do this. But he walks up, he says, Mr. McCulley. I said, don't call me Mr. McCulley. That's my dad. I'm Tim. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to shirk our responsibility. Yeah. Amen. We don't want. That's dead. That's the man. That's the old man. I'm not old. I hate to tell y'all, but y'all getting older. Amen. And when one of these young people walks up, they say, Mr. Nix, or they say, Brother Stover, Mr. Stover. You know what they're not talking about no father. They're talking about you. You're the ones that they're looking at. You're the one. And you're the one that's going to have to fill the shoes. So we don't want to fill the shoes of those people they're talking. We think we want to put it off on somebody else. But it's our responsibility to serve God. So right in here sat a family by the name of A.D. and B. Bowman. But AD&B Bowman's not here anymore. Somebody's got to fill their shoes. And I could go all over this building talking about different ones. And I'll get in trouble probably just by saying one name. But I want to tell you, we need some people to fill some people's shoes. It's going to have to be you. And the Father said, I sent my Son to live a life down there that men may see me in Him. May I say that the Lord has sent you and I, Jesus has sent us to live a life that they might see Jesus in us. Dr. Gibbs, y'all love Dr. Gibbs. Why don't y'all love me like y'all love Dr. Gibbs? But Dr. Gibbs said the same thing, and y'all just loved it when he said it. I just said it, and y'all just looked at me. Dr. Gibbs says your number one job is to make God look good. Yeah. Amen. And y'all just all, Dr. Gibbs. I just said the same thing. What I'm trying to say, hey, it's the truth. That's our job. We're to live our life that people may see Jesus in us. He said, my Father sent me, and I'm going to send you the same way. I want to send you out. And you need to live a life that men may see Jesus in you. I wonder if we're living that kind of life. You know, we had that popular thing going on, and men don't wear braces. But anyway, y'all get that one day. But anyway, but they had that brace. What would Jesus do? WWD. What would Jesus do? I wonder what are you doing that Jesus would do? Are you living your life like Jesus wants you to live your life? So our problem is not, oh, preacher, will you preach us some kind of new truth that will help us? Our problem is the truth we know that we're not doing. He that knoweth to do good and not him is sin, the Bible says. And we realize we don't need no new truths. We just need to read the old truths and start doing some of the things that we know we're supposed to be doing. You know you're supposed to be reading your Bible. Don't raise your hand. Not confession time. But how many of you read your Bible this week? You know you're supposed to pray. How many of you prayed this week? Hey, you know you're supposed to be faithful to the house of God. How many of you being faithful to the house of God? You know what to do. You know what this Bible commands. You know this Bible says don't lie. And a white lie is just like a real lie. Oh me, Lord help us. Good preaching, preacher. Good preaching. Amen. You know that you're not supposed to steal. Amen. You know these things. You know what our problem is? We're Christians in our society today. I call this Hollywood Christianity. What Hollywood Christianity means to me is this: it's platform Christianity. All we care about is what's on the platform. All we care about is what's show. And we put on our Sunday morning show. You go to most of the mega churches around here. Their buildings, if they're going to be full, they're going to be full on Sunday morning. Yeah. Amen. You go back on Sunday night, they're not going to have no near full house. Yeah. The missionary was just with us, Brother Terry Ellison. He said, man, he said, y'all had a great Wednesday night service. He said, I don't know how many of y'all run. How many of y'all run? A couple hundred. I said, we run in 500, but we're only catching about 120 and 30 of them. Amen. We have to shoot them to get them here. I'm just joking. We're paying some of them to be here. Somebody say amen. I said, he said, man, you had a great crowd. He said, I go to churches that runs 400 and don't have 50 on Wednesday night. Christian. Hollywood Christianity. All for show. And you know what Hollywood Christianity? That's people that lives right on the edge of sin. Just as close to sin as they can live to it. Why? Because they have a desire to be something else that they're not. Amen. I'm glad I've got a desire to be a Christian. You know they call them Christians first at Antioch? Why? Because they was wicked, devilish, acted terrible. No, because they acted like Christ. They call us Christians today because we go to church. Come on now. Somebody goes to church, they call them a Christian. They can live like the devil all week long. They'll call them a Christian. Amen. I'm going to get in trouble right here. But help me, Lord. Jimmy Carter, born again. Oh, yeah, right. Come on now. Amen. Okay, we're moving on. Father sent him to live a life. Live a life for Him. Are you willing to live for Him? Are you willing to testify for Him? Are you willing to be an example for Him? That's what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to speak words of life. He came to testify of the Father. That's what He told them. I've come to testify of the Father. Hey, if you've seen me, you've seen Him.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, we know He's God in the flesh. Hey, but I wonder if somebody, can anybody see Jesus in us? Are we willing to testify? Do we have a testimony? Are we willing to use God has no secret agents. God has no undercover secret agents. Well, I believe and I love the Lord and everything, but I just don't feel like it's correct for me to try to stand up in my surroundings and stand out. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
For it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone believeth. To the Jew first and to the Greek. I wonder, has it been last week? I wonder, was there a time that you was ashamed to say something, let nobody know that you was a Christian? It happens every once in a while, don't it? Something just comes along, you know, and things start happening, and I mean, it just finally comes down to the point. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I can't go to that place because of the. I can't go to that bar. Boy, we're just so far. I know a lot of places that has bars in them now, and I know we go eat at them. But I'm talking about something that's really a bar.
Yeah.
I don't even like the other places. When they want to set us near the bar, I tell them, no, we don't drink. We like to set as far away from that place as we can.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But there's sometimes, well, you know, I can't participate in this because really it's a lie, a falsehood. Had a young man in Bible college. When he was in Bible college, come back in. I knew he got in early. I was over one of the dorms, and he come back in early. And I said, "What happened?" And he said, "They fired me today." And I said, "You fired you? What'd you do wrong?" I'm a good Baptist. He said, "I didn't do nothing wrong, preacher. I thought I was doing right." He said, "They asked me to turn the mileage back on a motorhome that we was working on." And he said, I told him I couldn't do that. And they said, if you can't do that, you're fired. You just might as well leave now. Hey, it's going to happen. Young people, it's going to happen. There's somewhere. They're going to ask you to go to this thing, or they'll ask you to drink, or they're going to ask you to do some drugs. It's going to happen. It's going to come. And you have to say, no, I can't do that. And why can't you do that? Well, because mom and daddy don't let me. No. Mom and daddy ain't going to be responsible. There's going to be time, Brother Luke, when you're going to have to be responsible. From a time when you have to say, no, I'm not going to do that because I love my Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's what Joseph said.
Yeah.
Amen. When Potiphar's wife tried to get him to lie with her, he said, I can't do this against my God and against my master, your husband.
Amen.
Amen. But first, it was against his God.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. You said, preacher, what kind of mission message is this? Well, that's a mission. He gave them a statement. He gave them a mission to go and be like I've been for the Father. I want you to be like for me. Is that not a mission? Has He not sent us out to live for Him? The last two times I preached on missions this Sunday, I tell you, it's all been about us. We're the missionaries. We're the one. We're every one of you. When you leave this room, you have a mission field. When you leave this building, you have a mission field out there. You have a mission for God. God wants to use you. Amen. I got to hasten on. He said, I want you, are you living for Him? Are you testifying for Him? Are you going to be an example for Him? Are you being a light for Him? Or are you willing to live for Him? The Bible tells us that the Father sent Him to live for Him. But also the Bible says the Father sent Him to love for Him. He came to love people. Amen. You just find it here real fast. Here it is. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, He should depart out of this world to the Father. Having loved His own which was in the world, He loved them until the end. Amen. I wonder how much compassion. You know our theme is. Matter of fact, we put it on that billboard we're getting down there. Loving people to life. Our verse is Jude 22. Some having compassion, making a difference. I wonder what kind of compassion you're having on people that's making a difference. You know what Jesus? Bible says, but you know what they said about Jesus? Boy, he's a friend of sinners. And they thought that was a condemnation. That was a pretty good recommendation. Amen. Why? Because the Bible says he came to seek and to save the lost. And so it would be awful good to be friends with the people you're trying to get saved. Now, I know we preach about not being part of what other people do, but hey, we still got to be a friend to sinners. We still got to share the gospel. We still got to have a love. And I'm talking about a genuine, true love for them. Not a love for their sin, but a love for the sinner. Hey, you can hate the sinner's sin and not hate the sinner. Preacher, you've heard preachers, they preach so hard, you think they hated the sinner just as much as they hated the sin. We try not to be like that. We try our best not to have that trying to spirit. Hey, you can have your hatred towards sin, but not towards the sinner. So I wonder. Zeke, come on up here for a minute, man. I wonder. So when you see a young man walking down the street, he's not got his hair cut. His hair's long. He may have different things on his body. But can I tell you, just like Zeke here, is the son to Kevin and Sister Deborah Thomas, they're somebody's son. And no matter how wicked they may look, no matter how rough they may look, it could be that there's a grandmother somewhere praying for their grandson. It could be there's a mother fasting and praying for her son. Thank you, son. And you know what? And all we can see is the outward. All we can see is the dislikes. All we see is what we don't like about it. Now, I'm going to get personal here. Y'all know I'm good at it. Amen? That pesky little preacher. And I understand, and I'm not mad at anybody. But y'all remember a few years ago we had a guy come in, he had a duffel bag. There you go, buddy. Duffel bag. Carrying a duffel bag. I knew you'd been down the gym. I can tell. Duffel bag. So I got duffel bag, and he sat over here. He sat, and everybody. Now, I know what y'all scared of. Y'all didn't know what was in the duffel bag. He could have had a shotgun. I know the day we're living in. I understand that. But it was so wonderful to see some of our people. Now, some were scared. And I understand that. I'm not preaching. Amen. I don't understand that. But some of them went over there and shook hands. Glad you're here, sir. Some of y'all didn't. Boy, it's quiet in the Father's house today. I'm not preaching against you. But I can tell you this. We ought to have compassion for them, no matter how they come in. Now, he was dirty. He didn't smell the best in the world. He was homeless. But he was still had a soul. And he's going to judge this church according to how we received him. Now, we don't have a metal detector. If we did, we'd have ran it over him. we don't have those things. But we can watch. But in the midst of watching and being cautious, may we have compassion. Right? May we have a caring heart. Matter of fact, he came back a couple of times. He's been back a couple of times. Amen. He didn't charge any problems. If he causes a problem, we'll try to handle that best we can. Amen. Now, I'll just use that as a personal illustration. It's something that happened here in this church with that certain gentleman. But I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about when you're out there. How's your compassion? D.L. Moody said this. He said, everybody I see, Sister Amy, he said, everybody I see walking down the street, I see a big L on their forehead. They're lost. Until I know difference, he said, everybody I see. I wonder, are you willing to love for him? Are you willing to love the unlovable? See, our Brother Tim and Sister Donna, they walked in here, and hopefully y'all found a good... We welcomed you in all right, didn't we, brother? They walked in dressed nice and everything. But we need to love other people just the same.
Yeah.
I know this is against our flesh. I know. But I believe Jesus, the Bible says he loved sinners. He was a friend of sinners. Our compassion. Sometimes, you know, we just need to get a mental thinking right. We just need to mentally think right. We need to think. Those people that we work with, and they're sinners, and they do wicked things, and you hear the wicked things they do. And if you don't watch it, those things will cause you to cease to have a compassion for them. And the sometimes might be the things that they do to you. Boy, it'd be awful if Jesus stopped loving people because of what they've done to him.
Amen.
Can we say, as Jesus said on the cross, while they've already nailed, they put a crown of thorns on all the things they've done to him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. I've got to hurry. This is the introduction. And y'all laughing, but it's the truth. Father, he sent them to love him. He sent them to live for him. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to love and to live, but he sent him to lay down his life.
Yeah. Amen.
To lay down his life. To lay down his life. To lay down his life. I wonder, are we really willing? I'm going to be honest, I don't know. If somebody walked in the back door, had a machine gun, said deny Christ or live, I don't know what I'd do. Oh, I know what I'd do. Yeah, you're like Peter. Spoke on him this morning. Well, he told the Lord all he's going to do. I die for you, Lord. I'll forsake you. Here I am, buddy. It's me. And when the time came, he's afar off. We don't know. I hope I could say I would be. Hope I could say that. Hope I could be like the young lady that when the two men come in and shoot in the shooting in the school, I believe it was in Paducah, Kentucky. I may be wrong on the place. She was up under the table and he took a gun. What?
Columbine.
Columbine. He took a gun, shot her in the face, said, "You believe, deny Jesus," and she said she couldn't deny our Lord, and he shot her and killed her. That happened here in the United States. I hope, but that important. I hope I could say I'd do that. Am I willing to die for him? I mean, it's kind of hard to believe we're willing to die for him when we ain't willing to live for him. When we can't hardly give him one Sunday out of a month. When we can't come to the church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. Okay, here's my message. What should motivate us to reach the lost? First of all, I'm just going to give them to you real quick. The price of a soul should motivate us. The price of a soul. What should profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? We kind of put a price on about everything, don't we? You've got a price on your home. You've got a price on your car. Somebody give you enough money, you put a price on your kids. I'm just joking. But you know you thought about it. No, I'm just kidding. But you put a price on everything. But what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? The price of soul. The price of soul was worth so much Jesus Christ was willing to come to this earth. God said the price is so precious. He said, I'll send my son. He said, I'll send Christ. Jesus said the price of a soul was so precious, I'll go to a cross. I'll wear a crown of thorns. They put that as a mockery, as being the king. But you know what? He was the king. He became the king of sin for you and I. God made him to be sin. Who knew no sin? Am I the righteous of God? Amen. Oh, the cost. The precious cost of a soul. It cost Jesus everything. He became sin, not just for you, but He became sin for the whole world.
Yeah.
See, God forgives sin. Amen. God forgives us of our sins, and God cleanses us from our sins. Right? You know why how he could do that? Because he was willing to pay for them first. That's why it gives him the authority to forgive sins. He bought them. He paid for them. When you own something, you have ownership of it, you can give it to whatever, whoever you want to, as much as you can give. And he bought, he paid for sin for you and I. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ was willing to pay the wage of sin for you and I, that you and I would not have to die. That death is talking about that in Romans. It's not talking about the death of us dying. It's talking about a spiritual death. And if you go to Revelation, you'll find out there's a second death the Bible talks about. Amen. I love what one person said. He said to be born once. I got a birthday. Brother Nick's just had a birthday. He just turned 80 here. What was it, Friday or Sunday. Last Sunday, a week ago. He turned 80. He got a birthday. Born once, die twice.
Yeah, right.
You'll die a physical death here one day. We all will. And then when you stand at the great white throne judgment, guess what the Bible says? Second death.
Yeah.
You'll die again. Be cast into the lake of fire. Born twice, die once.
Yeah.
Die once. You'll step out of this door into eternity, into heaven. Death is a door that leads from this world to the eternal world. Your choice. Your choice. Why? Because sin has been bought. Sin has been paid for, where He could forgive sins for you and I. What should motivate us? What should motivate us to reach out? I'm telling you, the price of a soul. What God was willing to pay for a soul was His Son for you and I. Then secondly, the pain. The pain of the Savior. When we look at the cross, we look at the thorns, we look at how they plucked His beard out. When we survey the wonders of the cross, when we look at Calvary, and see how Jesus Christ suffered for you and I. And may I say, as they was beaten, as Isaiah said, he was a man beaten beyond. I mean, you wouldn't have been able to even see that he was a man.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been able to tell it was a man. He was so mired. He was so beaten for you and I. That cat of nine tails. His body. I mean, the skin of his back was tore off. No doubt the skin around his stomach. I'm telling you, he was beaten beyond recognition. But that wasn't all that he did. I cannot explain this. I don't understand it. But I can just tell you it's a Bible truth. The Bible says he became sin for you and I. And so that simply means this, Brother Luke, all the sins that you ever committed, he paid for those sins. Everyone in this building, he carried your sins personally to the cross.
Amen.
And if I could put it this way, Brother Derek, he bore your hell. That would be for all eternity. He bore it on Calvary. I cannot imagine the weight of the penalty of the whole world. Behold the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. He took away the whole world's sin. He carried it upon His shoulders. He bore hell's pain and agony. We should want to see that He paid such a great price. and such great suffering, we should be motivated to get the gospel out, the good news out, the gospel out that Jesus saves to others. How many here has ever heard the gospel? How many of you have heard the gospel? Let's just say you heard the gospel several times before you was ever saved. Everybody in the building, if you would raise your hand. How many got saved the very first time you heard the gospel? The very first time you heard the gospel, you got saved. The very first time you heard it. Very first time you heard it, you got saved. Anyone else? There is people like that. Very first time you heard the gospel. Now, I got saved the very first time the Holy Spirit dealt with me. But I was raised in church. I went to church 9 months before I was ever born. I heard the gospel, Brother Stringer, time and time again. I was 7 years old. There's no telling how many times I'd heard the gospel. Brother Hubby, there's no telling how many times you heard the gospel before you got saved. Isn't it a shame that you and I hear it time and time again, and some has never heard once? You said, that's all in the foreign fields. And that's true. There's a lot of people in foreign fields. But you realize when I was in Bible college, on Friday nights, there's a group of men. They designed a group of men, had a leader to it. And we went down to Clemson University and preached on the streets. I got the biggest cussing out I ever got. I got spit on down there. I got things thrown at me down there. It was boot camp for preaching in a Baptist church. So them eyes, when you cast them eyes on me, I think, well, that's just like what happened down there. It was a good boot camp. But I went down there one Friday after Friday. We went down after college. We had college at night. We got out at, I think it was about 9. So we didn't get down there at about 10 o'clock. This was a midnight. So needless to say, in Clemson, there's got a street down there, and all it is bars. It's right by the university right there. It's all it is bars. And we stand out there and preach. And I mean, some people be nice to you, and some people wouldn't be. But a gentleman walked up. Actually, somebody else was preaching, and I was standing there. And it was a Chinese young man. He's Chinese. And he stood there, and he was listening. And the preacher got done preaching, and I stand up and I said, sir, do you understand about Jesus? Do you know Jesus is your personal Savior? He said, I've heard about Jesus. I said, well, would you like to me to tell you about Jesus? And we stood right there in front of us. I can't still remember. There's a glass window there. I don't know what was going on in behind it. I don't even know what kind of place it was, a little kind of pull over. And I talked to this gentleman, probably 19 years old. I was just a little older than him. And I said, what do you know about Jesus? He said, I've just heard his name. And I said, well, I want to tell you about Jesus. I said, well, I have a Bible here, and it starts in Genesis. It goes to Revelation. It's a story. It's his story. It's a history to most people, but it's a story about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, this Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And I told him about it. I sat there and probably witnessed to him 30 minutes, and I just took him from Genesis the best I could, just by memory. I didn't read a lot of scriptures or anything like that, and I just took him from Genesis to Calvary. And I said, Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. He gave his life that you could be saved. And this young boy looked at me. And I said, would you like to be saved? He said, yes. And I said, well, all you have to do is just pray and just tell God that you're a sinner and ask God to save you. And I just thought he might bow his head, but he got down on his knees. He bowed down. I can still hear that broken English. As he told God he's a sinner and asked God to save him. I've never seen him again. But one day in heaven, no doubt in my mind, he'll pass by. No doubt in my mind, he'll pass by me. I'll tell you what should motivate us. to reach the lost. They're sinners that's never heard. They've never heard about the love of the Lord. They've never heard about Him dying on the cross. They've never heard about what He's done for them. And I'm telling you, and I've heard it time and time again. Somebody's sitting in this building today, and you've heard it, and you've heard it. And God's convicting your heart once again today. You need to be saved. And if you don't get saved, reject Him and walk out those doors. You may not never have another chance to hear it again. What should motivate us? To win the lost. Not just the price of a soul. Not just the suffering of the Savior. But what about the sinner's hell? What about the place sinners are going to go? Shouldn't that motivate you and I? Shouldn't that motivate us? Daddy tells this story. He said one day they was coming off of Sand Mountain. The water had got up and washed the bridge out. And so there was a man down there. Before he got to the bridge, he had a lantern. He had that light. Daddy pulled up there and said, I wasn't even born then. I think he just had Farron and Brenda in the car. And my mother, his wife, Mildred. And that man stopped him. Said, the bridge is out. And I'm just here telling people, the bridge is out. Because I want them to plunge into that water below. Somebody was willing to take the time. It wasn't his job. He wasn't a policeman. He'd just come up on the bridge out. I think somebody else had already ran off. And he was just there. Why? There was danger ahead. I wonder how many of y'all be willing just to be a man to hold a lantern. There's danger ahead. There's danger ahead. Hell's ahead. If you don't get saved, sir, ma'am, if you don't get saved, hell's ahead. I believe that should motivate us. Because, see, it's just not those wicked people that we don't really know that we just see and we think dress funny and act funny and does funny things. But some of them's our loved ones. Some of them's our family. Some of them's our friends. Hey, some of them we'll go fishing with, and some of them we'll go hunting with, and some of them we'll go do a lot of things with. But yet, they've never been saved by the grace of God. We're standing our heads about. Is God speaking to your heart? God wants you to be a missionary.
Your Heavenly Father, Lord, Father, we thank you for the message of today, Father. God, Lord, we pray, Lord, if one been amongst us here, Father, don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, you'll continue to touch their heart, Lord. Father, that they may receive you, Lord, for it's everlasting too late. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. Until we meet again this afternoon, may you keep everybody safe on the way home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.